So we're going to look at the, and I'm promising this, the last message in the Critical series today. I know that I've said that a few times, but I do think we need to finish it somewhere, and I think we're going to finish it somewhere great, just so that you know. Jesus said that he who hears my words and listens to them, does them, is like a wise man. And he went on to say that he's like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. You know, the storm comes and beats against it, but it stands. He also contrasts someone who hears his words but doesn't follow through on them as someone who is foolish, and the storms of life beat against the house they build and it actually comes tumbling down. And you see a few things in this passage. The first one is no one's immune to storms. We all face them. You know, just because you listen and obey to Jesus' words doesn't make life necessarily any easier than the next person's at times. The difference is the quality of life that you build will stand the test of time and the test of the storms of life. Thank you for amening that. I need encouragement. Come on, today I need encouragement. And I know, you know, it is a wonderful thing when you actually get life right. You know what I mean? When you make a decision, and often those life decisions that prove wisdom are only proven over time, aren't they? Yeah. You make a decision at some point, and then later on in your life, you're looking back going, gee, I'm glad I made that. That was a good decision. That was a quality life decision. And we probably are all familiar with the opposite. No, not really. Everyone's staring at me like manifested sons of God. Look at Warwick down there. You would never think that there'd be a bad decision made. But the fact is, we all know the pain, don't we, of actually doing things maybe not the most wise. And I know as a young husband, like I learnt as a young husband, this is great advice for any young husband who hasn't learned it yet, which means you probably haven't been married more than 3 weeks or so. But as a young man, I learnt this, that when my wife shared her pain with me, when Sue had things happening she was upset with and disappointed by, etc., I learned pretty early that that was not an invitation to fix things. That was an invitation to listen is wisdom. And yet just last week, I cannot believe it, I got caught out on this. Tim's looking at me like, I know your pain, brother. I got caught out again where, you know, we're sitting talking and Sue was talking about a few things that were troubling her, and so I got out my hammer and my saw and started to fix things, and Sue went strangely quiet about mid-conversation. I kept going for a little bit longer, and then I had this piercing revelation through my Neanderthal skull yet once again that just listen. Don't try and fix it. Sometimes not saying anything is wisdom. Sometimes when you speak up and you say something, you look back and you go, gee, I'm glad I spoke up for that. Other times you realize that's just not the time to speak. Wisdom. And it's all about timing too, isn't it? Wisdom. And so that's what I actually want to look at today. I want to look at wisdom, the critical nature of finding wisdom. You know, Jesus said that when we do charitable acts, we should not let our right hand know what our left hand is doing. It's almost like, you know, just get it done. And Jesus was talking about an ability to compartmentalize certain things in life. And obviously, when it comes to charitable acts, that was really, I think, to insulate us from pride and self-righteousness and wanting to blow our own trumpet. So Jesus said, in that sense, compartmentalizing life is a good thing. The only problem is, I think sometimes we apply it to some things in life we shouldn't compartmentalize, like wisdom. When a decision is less than convenient, when taking the low road, it sort of promises to be the most thrilling, the most exciting. It's actually where I really want to be, even though I know I probably really shouldn't be there. And we have an ability to compartmentalize wisdom away from ourselves so that we can follow through on things that aren't always the high road. It's getting quiet. Only three people do that. Three people admitted it. Don't you believe that's true? We have an ability to even hold, make decisions without fully engaging our mind when we actually want to do something that we think might not actually be the best. You see, getting wisdom is not hard. Getting wisdom is not the hard bit. Wanting wisdom is the hard bit. Wisdom's there to be had. And Scripture says it's literally everywhere. Most often, we know what's right. We know what needs to happen in our lives. We know what needs to be done. We know what needs to be said. It's just doing it that's the hard bit. You could say it this way. We have knowledge. But the real question is, will we exercise wisdom? The critical nature of finding wisdom. Really quickly, what wisdom is? Well, the Bible definition basically means a Bible word, Hebrew word, means skillful, witty, sharp, able to comprehend various learning. The whole thought of just being on a continuous learning drive through life and becoming skillful with your knowledge. Here's a simple definition. It is the correct application of knowledge. In other words, good judgment is wisdom. What wisdom is not? Wisdom's not necessarily being clever. It's not cleverness. It's not, sometimes it can overlap. Someone's very clever and very sharp and very smart. But who knows that our society is littered with examples of people who are razor sharp, who are actually very intellectually clever, who actually destroy their own lives in spite of their cleverness. So it's not about being sharp in mind. And so for those of us who maybe feel a little disqualified because we don't think we're actually the sharpest tool in the shed, that's good news. Because wisdom doesn't necessarily hinge on your intellectual capacity. Again, it hinges on your ability to apply knowledge or your willingness to apply knowledge. So where do we find it? Well, it's funny, but I think our world delights in making wisdom some sort of a mystical thing, like it's hard to get. You know, it's like a particular martial arts skill. You've got to be really gifted to, you know, or you've got to trek off to a Himalayan monastery or something and find your place of Zen and like zoom in on this mystical thing called wisdom. And it couldn't be further from the truth. Psalms 136 verse 5 says, "To him who made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever." And I've cut the second part of that verse off. It actually says God established the world with wisdom. In other words, everything is created in the context of wisdom. So wisdom is everywhere. Everything that we see, everything that we can touch, everything that we can sense around us is created in the context of wisdom. Wisdom is everywhere, imprinted on everything. So why doesn't everyone just want to make wisdom their goal? Well, while it's not complicated, wisdom often demands self-denial. It tends to long-term results over short-term pleasure. And that's what makes wisdom difficult. We struggle to accept inconvenient truth. We struggle to accept sacrifice. We struggle to accept short-term pain for long-term gain. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. Here's the passage I really want to zero in. You okay? Doing okay? Proverbs 8, 1 to 11 says, "Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill. beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips, and all the words of my mouth are with him who all the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than riches, rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. So obviously, Scripture places a really high premium on the value of wisdom and exercising wisdom, finding wisdom for our lives. But more than that, it actually tells us just how common wisdom is, where wisdom can be found, and the fact that wisdom is crying out for us all the time, trying to get our attention. Again, the issue is not that it's hard to find. The issue is it's hard to want it sometimes, if we're honest. First here, Proverbs says that she takes her stand on the top of the high hill. So wisdom, this whole thought of high places, if you look at it in Scripture, even with paganism, the high place was a place of worship. It was a place of meeting the gods. And so where Proverbs says she takes a stand on the high hill, there's this whole sense of the place of worship, or if I could put it this way, the place of the presence of God. Where do I find wisdom? Where can I get wisdom for my life? I don't want my house to fall down when the wind blows and the storm beats. How do I build my life? How do I encourage my children to build their lives? The first one is in the presence of God. Finding wisdom. However that looks for you, I preached recently on the presence of God and the value of the presence of God. And whatever that meant to you, however you seek God, however you find God, meet with God, I hope that you do. Because it's in that place that you can find wisdom for your life. And I don't know about you, but I'm willing to bet there'd be plenty of people here today that you've been surprised by God's wisdom, even when you haven't been necessarily looking for it. But I'm amazed, you get in God's presence. So spending some time, might even be in worship in a church service or putting a CD on at home or whatever, getting aside a bit, in the car, just drilling down and spending time with God, and all of a sudden you come out of that few moments with something clear in your heart about what you need to do in your life. You didn't necessarily ask for it, but it's been deposited while you've spent time on a high place. Does that make... You're looking at me like... Or you're journaling. Come on, who's ever? Because we all journal at New Hope, don't we? Come on, encourage me. You spend some time in journaling. And you know, I've found with my journaling, often I'll get wisdom maybe the night before or even 3 days before I need it. And then a couple of days down the track, I find myself in a situation and it's like, now I was journaling on that just a day or two ago. Go back and there's wisdom for this moment. Yeah. Wow, wisdom can be found. Wisdom is found on the high hills. Wisdom is found in the presence of God. Wisdom is found in the Word of God. It's crying out to us all the time. It's not that wisdom is hard to find. It's just that wisdom is hard to want sometimes. Come on, who wants wisdom? Who wants wisdom? I'm hoping you're getting thirstier, hungrier for wisdom. Here's another thought. From the proverb again, Wisdom is found beside the way. This is where she cries out. Beside the way where the paths meet. So this whole thought of, you know, maybe roads that intersect. I guess maybe it was the thought of going through a path through the wilderness and then all of a sudden coming across another path. I'm on my way from one destination to another and I'm just walking through the countryside and there's an intersection. There's a decision to be made. Which way will I go? Wisdom cries out at the point of decision, where paths meet. It's like the T-junction of life, if you want to put it that way. The critical moment of decision, the critical moment of direction. This is where wisdom screams at us if we let it. So going God's way, if you could put it that way, is like the high road. Going our own way, even though it might promise to be the easier path, the more exciting path, whatever, is generally the low road. Wisdom urges us to do it God's way. And when I look at this, I think common for us all, we all struggle in major decision points of our lives in three areas for people. Interestingly, a few years ago, we got the whole pastoral team together and we thought about just all the pastoral work we did with people and tried to just boil it down. What are the common denominators? Where are the points of people's need? Where do people get hurt, burnt, need to be picked up, need to be helped, need wisdom for their journey? And we actually boiled pretty well all of life down to three things. Three topics. First one was relationships. If these three things are working in your life, everything's working, I'm telling you now. First one's relationships. Boy, we need wisdom with relationships. And you know the crazy thing about relationships? When you need wisdom most, feelings try and ambush. Yeah. And that goes from boy meets wrong girl, girl meets the wrong boy. And wisdom is demanded, but feelings, it's so hard to want wisdom at that point in life. Is that true or not? But that doesn't just stop. It happens right through with our relationships. That is husband keeping his mouth shut or opening his mouth for a change and saying how he feels. Wisdom at that point in our relationships is the make or break. And wisdom is there. But do we want wisdom? Another area in life is finances. Again, when money is working in your life, you're not worrying about it. When it's not working in your life, it's the only thing that seems to be presenting the pressures of finances, etc. And so that's wisdom is needed everywhere from our spending. But we often don't want wisdom at the point of the sale, do we? Because we've been convinced this would be so good. This would be so fun. I just want to feel what this is going to bring into my life. And wisdom is screaming at us, but sometimes we don't want wisdom at that point. And then you end up with the results of stuff like that, like credit card debt. Not wise. Honoring God. Do I honor God? Do I not honor God? I know what I could do with this. Do I honor God with it? Listen, Bible teaches us, don't eat your seed. That's wisdom. Any farmer here would say, don't eat your seed. That's next year's harvest. Wisdom says that, but a lack of wisdom leads to want and need. And yet in the immediate moment of when you make that decision, it can be so hard to want wisdom. The other area really simply is health. Honestly, relationships, finances, and health. If you get those three things working for you, you've got a pretty stable, productive, happy life. And health is the other thing. And man, we're all challenged with that, but some of us less than others. But can I tell you, a doctor gave me wise advice a couple of years ago, and he said stuff like, you won't outrun your DNA. That's a hard one. The other thing you won't outrun is a bad diet. You just think you're outrunning it, but you're not. And again, isn't it hard when we're faced with that decision? And you even know beforehand you're not going to be happy tomorrow. You even know beforehand you're probably not even going to be happy in 1 hour. But it's so hard. Wisdom cries out, but it's so hard to accept wisdom in the moment. Hey, let's be totally convinced. Wisdom is not difficult. Wanting wisdom is the key. And I think for us today, like if there's only one thing comes out of the message, is that desire for wisdom. I desire wisdom. When I come, when I get in the presence of God, I know I can find it. When I'm at the point of decision, I know I need it. And I want to find the critical nature of finding wisdom in your life. It's so hard to say no to your stomach, was my last thought about food, even when you know you'll regret it later. And I think that actually epitomizes wisdom. Wisdom brings no regret. Lack of wisdom always results in later regret. There might be instant pleasure, in-the-moment pleasure, short-term pleasure, for long-term pain. But a wise choice, it might be tough to make in the moment. Short-term pain that leads to long-term gain. And looking back thinking, man, I am so glad I made that decision. Come on, there'd be people here right now who, even in this area of relationships, some would be sitting here thinking, man, when I made that decision, I dodged a bullet. And there'll be others that live with the pain of not having dodged the bullet. And time is what tells in our lives. Come on, who wants wisdom? From this point on, I want to find wisdom at every junction of life. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there's no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The multitude of counselors. You know, this isn't about I need to go and tell my woe story to everyone who'll listen. The multitude of counselors. No, what the writer of Proverbs is getting at is, don't just be listening to one voice. Be careful of that one friend who's always egging you on. Be careful if the only person you've talked to about this is the salesman. I love you. If you're a salesman here, we love you. But your job is to sell things. And it's only wisdom to understand that that's the role that they play. And talking to a few people, bringing some counselors into your world, can bring a lot of safety to your world. You know, if you know, young people, we're heading towards that time of the year where we do our relationship series. And one of the things I always say to our young people is, honestly, if you're the only one who's keen about you going out with that person, that's got to say something to you. If your friends are a little bit concerned, if you're not game to tell your parents, there's something wrong. You're actually sailing into a lack of wisdom, and potentially you'll be looking back with regret in the future. A multitude of counselors creates safety. And honestly, we all have people in our lives that we can bounce stuff off. Some more than others. And it doesn't mean tell everyone, you know, your journey, your story, but at critical points of the journey where you need to make a decision, then the multitude of counselors brings safety to our life. Get a second opinion. Get a third opinion if you need to. Are you okay? Here's wisdom. She cries out at the gates, at the entrance of the city, or at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. All of these thoughts in this one sentence, they all sort of focus in on this entry point, or if I could put it this way, at the point of opportunity. Wisdom cries out at the point of opportunity, cries out from heaven, literally. You get in the presence of God, cries out at the point of decision, and cries out at the point of opportunity. Who's worked out in life that some things look great, but they're just not for you? Some things look great, they're just not for you. As a matter of fact, so much of people's pain, I think, is often when we want something that's really not a good fit for us. In whatever area, whatever kind of thing you want to talk about. I put it this way, there's some things that are good and there's some things that are God. And if I was to put it up on the screen here this morning, you'd see it. Like, they look very similar. Those two words both use all the same letters in the same order. Good, God. Just drop a zero out, but good has just got that zero extra, and it changes it. And some things are good, but they're not necessarily God at that point of opportunity. I can remember many years ago now, just before I went to Crow's Nest, actually, just before I went out to pastor the church at Crowe's, and a good friend of mine offered me a business opportunity. And it was, you know, painting vehicles, and it was in my trade, and offered to set me up, offered to give me a contract, a lucrative contract that I was already just working on doing that for him. And he said, I'll split that off the business, give you that portion. It was a license to print money. And I went around, I priced some of the things that I would need. I looked at another workshop that was closing down, gone into receivership. I looked at all their equipment. I could pick it up for a steal. It just all seemed so good. But at the same time, every time I went to literally pull a trigger on it, I just had the sense that even though nothing much was happening for us ministry-wise, we'd been interns for 3.5 years, and it just seemed like we weren't going anywhere really other than what we'd done, and we'd sort of conquered our little patch. We felt we were doing everything we could do. We developed as far as we could go. And it was so tempting to go, right, this is the future. Go into business. And every time I went to do it, I just had this sense that if I was saying yes to that, I was saying no to what God was really calling me to. And I eventually got back to my friend, said, mate, I'm not going to do it. I just don't think God's in it for me. And I think it was like within 3 weeks we'd been offered the church at Crow's Nest. And there was this good thing that came just before the best thing. Now, the interesting thing is, it's not, who's worked out that what's good for one person's not necessarily good for another? Or what's God for one person, it's not necessarily God for another. It's all uniquely according to calling. And the fact is, he felt very called to business. He's still in business. I felt very called to business inside of the church. He felt very called to business in the marketplace. We've both fulfilled our calling. He's still on my board. He's still my best friend. We've still been able to do all of life together. As a matter of fact, you know, he designed and had a whole heap to do with making this building happen. So we're both in the right spot, and I think even when I look at what God's doing amongst us today, part of that is just two people with wisdom at the point of opportunity making sure they got the God thing and didn't just do the good thing. How about in your life? I mean, we all face these moments where, man, there's something really good's coming my way. Just make sure by using wisdom that it's the God thing. Just make sure that big word that starts with a capital G spells God for your life. And wisdom helps you discern that. Wisdom helps you discern that, where it's the correct application of knowledge. For me, it was just a matter of thinking, what has been the trajectory of my life since I met Jesus? And that trajectory all headed one way. And as tempting as business was, I think I'd have the business skills to run a reasonable business. As tempting as that was, it just didn't seem to fit everything I knew about what God had been doing in my life to that point. And so I made the call, and we've never regretted it. Now here we are all these years later, and I can't believe what God has done. So what about you? What about you? Where do you need wisdom in your life? I can give you some things just to whet your appetite. You need wisdom when you're tempted to open your mouth and say what you really think. You need wisdom to make that investment. You need wisdom when you're tempted to lose your temper. You need wisdom when you're tempted to sin, to choose the low road. You need wisdom when you really want to post something emotive or comment on social media. You need wisdom before you say yes to that date. You need wisdom when you're tempted to respond to that friend request from an old flame on Facebook. You need wisdom before you make that purchase on a credit card. You need wisdom when you're about to answer your spouse. Come on, I could go on and on and on. There is no place where we don't need wisdom. Who wants wisdom? Wisdom cries out to us. Wisdom can be found in God's presence. Wisdom is at the point of every decision we make. Wisdom is at the point of every opportunity that presents itself. We only need to want it. And I want to encourage you today. I mean, imagine for some of us, just for some of us, how much less complicated life could be right now if you'd applied wisdom in the past. That's just for some of us. And I want to encourage you, imagine how much simpler your life could become right now if you chose wisdom. So here's some questions for us. Some questions personally for each one of us. Am I prepared to climb the mountain and meet with God concerning my life? Am I prepared to go to the high place? I mean, Abraham went there with Isaac, first place of worship, mention of worship in the scripture. Moses went there to get the pattern for a whole society. Jesus went there to pick the guys who would carry the mission. Are you prepared to ascend the mountain? Spend some time in God's presence and get wisdom over the things that you face in life right now. Am I happy to find wisdom at the crossroads of decision? And I've got the feeling some people are, obviously you're right there now, that'd be all of us, but there's some people that are really at a critical, you know, it's a life-defining decision. And I want to ask you this question. Is that what you want? Do you want wisdom? Because if you want wisdom, here's the key. You've got to be prepared for any answer you get. The only reason we don't hear is because we've already answered. But if we can leave the answer slot blank and go, I'm happy for God to write something in there, you'll hear from heaven every time. It's just often that we're already predisposed to our answer. Another question, am I determined to surrender opportunity to wisdom's decision? When opportunity comes, am I prepared to surrender that opportunity to wisdom's decision? And lastly, and this is maybe a general question, but helps us work out where we're at. Do I most often love wisdom or resent its inconvenience? Because I've found wisdom through the years to be at times exceptionally inconvenient. compared to Chris's agenda, if you know what I mean. Am I prepared? Do I love it? Or is it something I tend to resent? And I think we can work out where our own hearts are at with that. And I want to finish today just on a promise from the New Testament. James 1, verse 5 to 8. And James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You know, I love that because it's really simple. You've just got to use faith. Again, go to God, say, Lord, I need wisdom on this. And if your heart's open, if you actually want it, if we're not just sort of pretending to want it, but if we genuinely, God, I need to know wisdom right now, then Scripture says God will give it to you liberally and without reproach. In other words, without any sense of, oh, you dummy. Liberally. You want wisdom? I've got it for you. I would love to bless you with wisdom. It's just a matter of asking. So why don't we stand together this morning? And I just want to create an opportunity. You know, today certainly, and I think when I preach a lot, I'm not trying to give just answers. This is a challenge. I can't lay hands on anyone and impart wisdom. This just helps us understand we all have a decision to make at critical points in our life. Is this how I want to build? Do I want to be like the wise person? Builds their house and it stands the test of time in the storms of life. Come on, we all want to be that, don't we? Then I need to get into the presence of God. At the point of decision, at the point of opportunity, I need to be open to what God wants to do in my life. And I want to pray for us this morning. And if you specifically need wisdom right now, maybe you're one of those people, and I said, you're right at the point of decision right now. This is current for you. Then I encourage you to reach out to God, grab a hold of that promise, and receive wisdom just as we pray together in the closing moments of the service. Could we do that? How about we reach out to God together? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for wisdom. Lord, that everything that surrounds us is created within the context of wisdom. Wisdom is not hard to find. Wisdom is not hard to draw on. But we pray that we would be open. I pray, Father, for a whole new sense of desire, the ability to want wisdom in the moment, wisdom with our words, wisdom with our thoughts, wisdom with what we watch, wisdom with what we spend and how we use our money, wisdom in our relationships, wisdom with the friendships that we bring into our life, wisdom with the people that we allow to speak into our lives. On so many levels, Father, the opportunity is there for us to exercise wisdom. And we say today that we want it. Come on, if you're asking for wisdom, raise your hands. Father, we just simply ask for wisdom in our unique scenario. As I look across here, Father, and I just pray for this whole great group of people. Father, I pray for specific words, specific understanding, for the lights to come on, for pathways to light up, for doors that are correct to open, so that your people would move forward and build with wisdom. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. How about we just keep our heads bowed just for a moment. Just for a moment. You know, wisdom always begins with a relationship with God. As a matter of fact, in three places, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord, or the respect of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it all starts. And you might be here today and you might go, you know, I'm a bit on the outer of this. You don't sense that your relationship with God is close right now. Maybe you've had one in the past, but you know it's not close now. Or maybe you've never had a relationship with God. Well, friend, you'll find wisdom in Him the moment you open your heart to Him. He'll begin speaking to your heart. He'll begin showing you wisdom at every junction of your life. And maybe you're here and you realize, I am at that T-junction right now. And I want to encourage you, the best direction you can turn is in Jesus' direction. And so while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, I want to give you an opportunity. If you want to reach out to God, if you want to open your heart to Him, if you want Jesus to come into your life and begin leading you through life with wisdom, the kind of wisdom I've talked about, if you want that to be your experience, if you want God to forgive the past so that you can build a fresh future, then in the closing moments, you have an opportunity here today. We're going to pray a simple prayer up on the screen, a prayer of dedication and commitment to Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you just know, man, I need to be included in that prayer, would you raise your hand just right where you are? Just right where you are. As I look across here, I'll acknowledge it. You can put it down again. God bless you. Yeah, awesome. Others, God bless you. That is fantastic. Awesome. Others in this place, awesome. God bless you, mate. That is fantastic. Just looking across one more time, one last time. Just giving people that opportunity. And you're in great company. You know, 37 people last week responded to Jesus in some way. And you're just joining people that are on a journey. Just one last look, if that's you, friend, and you haven't responded yet, but you know, I need Jesus in my life. I want to walk with Him like I've never walked with Him. Wonderful. Awesome. Well, we're going to pray this prayer together. And if you responded, make it your own. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for loving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen. Amen. Well, let's give it up for people who responded to Jesus. And Pastor Sue's going to come and let you know how you can grab a hold of some wisdom in the form of the Bible and really build your life. And for the rest of us, who's ready to go out and just brush up on their wisdom skills? Right? Awesome. Cool. Thanks, Pastor Sue.
Awesome. Can we thank Chris as he goes? Wisdom. We all need it. If you responded this morning, if you're one of those people that raised your hand, or maybe you're here and you...